Good day, everybody. Hello and welcome to TGS NOPEX conference call. My name is Hank Hamilton. I'm the CEO of the company, and joining me today are Arna Helland, our CFO, and John Adamek, our Vice President of Business Development. Earlier today, we published our third quarter earnings, and we also broadcast a detailed presentation over the web that's available for replay on our website. So today we don't intend to go through that full presentation and discussion again. It's there for your viewing if you haven't seen it yet. So we'll just try and cover a few of the highlights and then talk a little bit about our outlook and expectations, and then we'll turn the call over for a Q&A session. First of all, since the shareholder approvals from the merger with Wayfield Insights occurred on the 20th of September, the final 10 days of Wayfield's results for the third quarter are consolidated into the TGS NOPEX results, and that's detailed in our earnings release. Just a few of the financial highlights. Our consolidated net revenues then were $110.6 million, which is an increase of 11%. Our net late sales from the multi-client library were $57 million, which is down 16% from the same quarter a year ago. Our operating profit was $48.9 million, down 11% from the same quarter a year ago. The operating profit margin was 44% of net revenues. This was lower than the same quarter a year ago because of a different mix of revenues. We had a much higher element of contract revenues, which carry higher costs and a lower margin than our multi-client activities. Our cash flow from operations after taxes but before investments was $85.7 million. That's up from $80.5 million 1 year ago. And our earnings per share were 30 cents undiluted, down 18% compared to a year ago. During the quarter also, we repurchased TGS shares and also bought Wayfield shares in the total amount of $149.6 million. This was consistent with the plan that we put forward when announcing our merger. As we mentioned in our Q3 update on October 8th and our conference call the following day, our multi-client and contract revenues were both adversely affected by some productivity issues on two of our newly delivered treaty vessels. In addition, our multi-client library sales in the Gulf of Mexico were below our own expectations. And this was really due to difficulties in closing sales commitments right at the end of the quarter, which is normally our time of highest sales commitment activity. We believe that the delay of the Central Gulf of Mexico lease sale this year from its normally scheduled time in March to October created changes in buying patterns from our customers. This was a massive lease sale at the beginning of October. There's going to be another equally large one, we believe, in March of next year, so we anticipate the buying patterns to return to normal after this. On a standalone basis, without the 10 days of Wayfield, the TGS revenues were $100.8 million, which is up about 1% from a year ago. We had a very positive development in our backlog during the quarter. On the TGS standalone basis, the backlog increased by 60% to roughly $120 million. When we add on top of that the very strong contract backlog from Wayfield Insights of roughly $170 million, we're in new territory for us by a long shot. So this really points to the strength in the seismic market and the quality of the opportunities that are out there in front of us. So we see really strong opportunities in both the contract and in the multi-client sectors of the business. It is our plan to begin wide azimuth 3D multi-client activities in the Gulf of Mexico late in the fourth quarter. We have secured a large block of pre-funding for that project already, and we anticipate securing significant additional pre-funding before the startup of the project. We expect that during the fourth quarter, we will see lower vessel utilization rates than normal, and I'm referring now to the fleet that's on charter to TGS, plus the Wavefield Insight fleet, which has primarily been operating in the North Sea as it's been commissioned. We'll be moving a lot of vessels out of the North Sea area. We'll be moving a lot of vessels into the Gulf of Mexico to start up White Azimuth, and also other vessels into new areas where we plan to leave them for long periods of time. So we will temporarily have a lower vessel utilization to get ourselves in position with optimal positioning to start delivering on the some of the synergy effects of the merger. In addition, we do have one vessel that's in an unplanned dry dock for repair at the moment, and that will take it out of service for roughly 1 month at the port. We expect, as I mentioned earlier, that our Gulf of Mexico late sales are going to return to their normal seasonal pattern. We typically see a very strong Q4 effect, and we typically see a very strong end of quarter effect, especially in Q4, with the opportunities now ahead in the March lease sale in the Gulf of Mexico. We are seeing strong activity on data quotations and on interest in our 3D, 2D and 3D surveys. I'd like to review briefly our updated 2007 expectations. It has not previously been our policy to give quarterly guidance because of the unpredictability of our late sales and the uncertainty with when some of those large sales will happen. But as a result of the Wavefield Insight merger, and a large amount of contract backlog now, we believe it's important to set some level of expectations for the fourth quarter of this year. So let's just review what those are. We expect now that our total multi-client library investments are going to be in the range of $145 to $155 million. That's about $15 million less than we had previously indicated. And the reasons for that are, the productivity issues that we experienced during Q3 on the chartered vessels. We don't pay for the vessels when they're down for technical reasons, and therefore our investments in Q3 were lower than we expected. In addition, I think we're now projecting a startup of White Azimuth operations late in the quarter as opposed to earlier in the quarter. And that also has an impact on this. As far as our pre-funding expectations, we're maintaining our current guidance of 60 to 70% of investments. That's in line with what we've been achieving year to date and in line with what we expect to continue to achieve. We see the margins on our multi-client business continuing to remain very, very strong. We measure that by the amortization rate associated with those sales, and we expect that to stay in the 28 to 33% range. The amortization rate, I think, year to date is at 30%, so we see not really any significant changes going forward there. On the net revenues for the fourth quarter, we expect to come in somewhere in the range of $190 million to $210 million. This would lead to full-year net revenues of $485 to $505 million. I would also point out that we will go through, once our merger is closed, we will go through an extensive budgeting process for 2008. And following that, we'll plan to come out with more detailed guidance for 2008, you know, as soon as we can. So at this point, we'd like to open up the call for your questions. If you'll press the star key followed by one.
The first question is from Mr. Bill Herbert in Siemens & Company, please.
Hey, thanks. Good morning, Hank. Hank, I was wondering if you could bring us up to speed with respect to where we stand with regard to the merger with Wayfield.
Okay. Just a chronology there.
Yeah.
We had the shareholder approvals on the 20th of September. On the 8th of October, we issued a market update stating that our Q3 revenues were going to fall short of our expectations. This, in turn, triggered an effort between the two companies to do a thorough review of the causes of that revenue shortfall. This was announced publicly. And at least at TGS, we have fully complied with all of the information requests associated with that review. We provided all information. We've answered all questions. We've answered all follow-up questions. And we've not, to date, been asked any further questions. So from our point of view, we have reviewed all of this same information ourselves very carefully. And, we are highly confident that there is no underlying legal or factual reason here for us not to conclude the merger as planned. The next thing that has happened is that two shareholders of Wayfield Insights have asked Wayfield's board to convene an extraordinary general meeting.
Right.
To deal with the merger. We expect that to go ahead.
Okay.
We learned today that Wayfield Insights wants to do a more thorough review of the circumstances around the shortfall in Q3 revenues.
Okay.
This is kind of news to us. I mean, we feel like we've given them everything we have on that, and so we're not sure what question remains unanswered there. So that's about where we stand, Bill.
Hank, what is a little bit puzzling to me is what is the basis for their wanting to do a more significant review? Does it have to do with perhaps a supposition on the part of some that you were in possession of certain information at the original EGM? Had they had that information, they wouldn't have necessarily approved the merger? Or what is the basis for this continuing vetting, if you will, of the process?
We're a little unsure of that ourselves. We haven't been told specifically the reason, and we haven't been told exactly what questions remain unanswered. So,
you say that basically you feel legally confident in your position that this transaction is going to go forward on the terms as agreed upon originally. What exactly is the legal recourse on the part of those who want this further reviewed and perhaps even renegotiated?
Well, I don't know that we want to go into. I'm not a legal expert. I don't want to go into too much of that. But I think the conditions relative to closing of the merger were detailed in the merger plan that was published, and we don't see that any of those conditions have been violated in any way.
Okay, and you mentioned that Wayfield itself wants to conduct a further review, and that, if I understood you correctly, there probably will be a new EGM. When does that happen?
They have not called it exactly, only to say that it will happen on November the 19th or earlier.
Okay, and when was this transaction supposed to close?
We're in a creditor review period, which would expire on the 20th of November.
Okay. I guess moving on to a more sort of salutary subject. You mentioned that you were confident here that Gulf of Mexico land sales in Q4 were going to revert to their typical seasonal pattern. Last Q4, we saw a step change increase in lease sales in front of what was then going to be the Central Gulf of Mexico lease sale in March, which was subsequently pushed back to October 3rd of this year. Are we beginning to see movement on that front in front of this March lease sale in terms of actually sales being consummated, or is it pretty much in the dialogue phase as of yet?
I think, Bill, I don't know if you had a chance to review the slides that we put out there today, but one of the things we showed was the monthly sales pattern quarter after quarter, and it's quite striking in that on nearly every quarter we end up achieving 50 to 60% of our total quarterly revenues in the last month of the quarter.
Sure.
That's our normal pattern.
Yep.
And even more so, it tends to be weighted to the last half of the last month of the quarter.
Right. I see that slide. I'm just curious as to the progress that we've made in October to date, or is it still early?
Right. It's still pretty early, although what we can say is that the pipeline looks really good. I mean, our sales staff is flat out busy visiting oil companies and showing data. We have seen some oil companies who were not as successful as they thought they might be in the last sale, and that means they've got some extra cash to get ready for the next one. And we've seen some that are readjusting their strategies to maybe new areas because of how they performed in the last sale. So this is generating a lot of activity right now.
Last question for you, with regard back to this sort of complicated subject of the merger process. Notwithstanding all the turbulence that seems to be going on at the shareholder level and perhaps even the board level with respect to this review process and what eventually will unfold, walk us through in terms of the level of cooperation, dialogue, and interaction between the two management teams. You say that you're going to start this wide assessment survey later on in the quarter. Is there sort of a fervent dialogue and cooperation and review of operations between the two management teams, or has that come to a halt during this review process?
Now, Bill, I would say that we have continued to work together in good faith to try and deliver on the value that that we believe exists in this merger. Not only on the wide azimuth project coming up, but also on a couple of other projects around the world where we're trying to share resources or use one another's assets. So I think that's been a healthy process. The turbulence makes it sometimes a little more difficult, but I think the management teams are highly professional here and are committed to doing their best.
Okay, Liz, thank you very much, Hank.
Next from is at the Bake Valley in the company ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a short question on I understood that there's confidentiality agreements currently on the findings of the Bayfield review or the board review. Has this confidentiality agreement been requested by you or them?
I guess to go back to the sequence of events, when the joint review was originally requested, we were fully in favor, and it was initially going to be a board member and an employee conducting the review, and then they began to expand the scope to include individuals outside the organization, which would have brought them in as insiders. So at that point, they needed to put a confidentiality agreement in place to protect the nature of some of the data that has to do with specific clients and all that sort of thing. So I suppose it was us who requested that confidentiality agreement.
All right. Then the second question, if I may. The share price is quite depressed by all the turbulence surrounding the merger here. You might still have the possibility to do share backs. Have you started to do any, or are you still planning maybe to do share backs by this year?
You know, I think share buybacks is one of the ways we can really add value to shareholders. It's been one of our favorite ways in the past, and I think it's a tool that our board will continue to use when it feels it's in the best interest. So, you know, we do still have a strong cash position following all of the recent share purchases we've done, and the cash forecast going forward looks good. So I think we'll continue to evaluate that as a way to add value.
But you haven't done any yet during the fourth quarter?
No, I mean, we felt we were certainly insiders up until today because we haven't issued our full Q3 earnings yet.
Yeah, all right. Thanks.
For questions, please press star key followed by 1. No further questions.
Okay, very well. Well, I would like to remind you that that the full earnings release and the webcast and the presentation are all available on our website. We appreciate you joining our call today and look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks.